opening the ears and opening to the quality of spaciousness that holds this moment. Letting your ears rather than your eyes help you orient in space. There might even be a little turning of the head to really take in sounds and the three-dimensional space that you're sitting in. And then a slow centering and stilling into the body. Letting yourself come to inhabit the body more fully. To feel the points of contact between your body and the floor. Your body and the cushion or the chair. To see if you can feel the aliveness of the body really touching and being touched by life. These places, these moments of contact. A place where our experience is alive, where our awareness can be alive. And we can be nourished by the energy of being in contact, being in connection with this moment. As you connect with the aliveness in the body, gifting yourself the intimacy of checking in more closely with the body, through a gentle sweeping of awareness from the crown of the head down through the body at your own pace. And as your awareness, the aliveness, the energy of your attention comes into contact with each part of the body, let yourself linger for a few moments in pockets of openness or ease. Let yourself lovingly tend to the places of contraction or discomfort. Perhaps extending the breath into and through the tension or tightness. Inviting a lengthening, a loosening. And it might be as you've moved through the body, that there's some felt sense of the body as a whole, or maybe one of the touch points, maybe even one of the tender places that is offering itself up as the anchor point for your practice today. And if so, really trusting that. Allowing yourself the ease of resting into this place as home base. And if nothing has offered itself up as an anchor, you might at this point gently gather your awareness to the felt sense of the breath. Feeling the energy of the breath. Opening to the vitality and the steadiness that's available in the breath. Resting the mind, resting your awareness on the steadiness of your anchor of breath or body. notice that your attention has been blown off course. When it's wandered from your anchor, breath, or body, you might let yourself open to a moment of curiosity about the energy that might have fueled the winds of distractibility. Letting yourself notice if there was any quality of not wanting, of wishing to escape, maybe a discomfort in the body or the mind. Maybe even a wish to walk away from the dullness of boredom. Not holding this as a thought exercise, but just noticing if there's any energy of contraction, resistance. And whenever you're ready to return home to your anchor, feeling what it's like to return with an energy of interest, receptivity. Curiosity. Letting your awareness do this dance of distraction from and devotion to the focal point of your anchor. as we come to the final few minutes of our practice today. You might consider how this capacity for being energized from the connection with this moment, might serve and support your community, your relationships, this broader world. How the wholesomeness of recognizing when there's a movement away from something, a resistance, an aversion. The wholesomeness of being able to see this might contribute to a world of repair and authentic relationship, of care, a world in which all beings know a measure of safety, support, ease and freedom. May it be so. So, as we talked about last time, the five hindrances are these habits of mind that we all experience. And often they operate in the background of our awareness and move us in directions we may or may not choose from our most aware, awake, loving hearts. And there's a lot to be learned from them. And so last week we began this process of exploring each one in depth, and we worked with that energy or hindrance of desire, exploring, that habit of mind and when it might serve and when it might, catch us or compromise us in some way. And this week, I thought we'd look at our second hindrance, which is often called ill will, or aversion. Those are the two most common labels for it. And like all of the hindrances, it has many nuanced expressions and flavors. So ill will or aversion occurs on a spectrum, and it includes things like irritation, anger, rage, blame, impatience, resistance, resentment, distaste, disliking, and even boredom has a quality of aversion. It has an energy of wanting to get away from something or wanting things to be different. It usually has the energy of tension, contraction, pushing away. And you might even, it might be fun to just play with this for a moment, because we're bridging from desire to ill will. And if you want to sort of play with this, because sometimes things land better if we don't just hear them, but we actually experience it in the body, you might begin by imagining, like, right there in front of you, like, just out of reach, your absolute favorite snack, whatever it might be, dark chocolate, crispy French fries, an ice cream sundae, an exquisite five-star meal, whatever it might be. And actually reach your hands out, if that's okay in your body, and like, just see what it feels like to reach. You might even notice that, like, the body starts to lean a little bit, literally, energetically, like, it's right there. It's right there. And, like, notice how it feels. Does it feel good to be reaching, to be searching, And then you might imagine, like, one of your least favorite things, your least favorite people, place, something, it could be your least favorite politician. It could be, you hate dill pickles. It could be, your neighbor's barking dog at 3 a.m. And like, let your body actually feel, and you might reach out again, but let your body actually engage or feel the energy of, like, not wanting that, of pushing away. And often there's, like, tension there too, right? Yeah, like, and where? It's often, there can be a contraction in the stomach. There can be a leaning back. There can be a disconnect. Sometimes there's, like, a sense of a veil that we bring down between ourselves and life. So it can just be interesting to let yourself imagine, to explore, to embody these different hindrances, these energies of mind, right? Last week, we talked about a little bit about desire being neutral, and it really being about where do we place our desire, and our faith, our allegiance. And in many ways, there's a flavor of that here in ill will too, because there's often a lot of energy in the expressions of ill will. Take some energy to be angry at someone, to hate something, to not want something. And energy is actually quite neutral. And so it's kind of like, how do we express our energy? How do we, because we can even have an energy that is, has a quality of strong no, that's about justice or it's about fairness, that has a different feel from aversion. You know, it's how do we let these energies move through us? So the way we work with ill will is the way we work with any hindrance, which is to allow it and to explore it. And often ill will, we meet with ill will. Many of us don't like ill will. This mind and heart actually has a strong tendency towards aversion. If I walk into a room, the first things I notice, you may have find this hard to believe because it may not be the energy I present, but I'll walk into a room and what this mind automatically does is like, oh, it's too hot in here. Or, oh my God, those people are talking too loudly. Or I really just don't like the smell of that person's cologne. Like this mind goes to everything I don't like in the space. And it's a very strong habit. And it's been that way since childhood, you know. So it's a habit that I've worked with and I continue to try to be curious about. Because there's a lot of tension in meeting the world that way. And the place to start is to not meet the aversion with more tension. Because that's just more contraction and more disconnect from the world. So... and one of the other places that you can start to get curious about ill will is it's very often fueled and fed by thoughts, right? There's a thought. So I walk into the room and there's often a thought that says, oh my gosh, he has such a loud voice. You know, like there's a thought. It's not even like the sensory experience of sound coming into the ears. It's like a judgment that's right there. And the judgment fuels the irritation, which fuels a desire to find a quieter place. So sometimes as you sort of feel your way into ill will or aversion, you can kind of notice if there's a thought that's feeding it. And then to even notice that, like, oh, I'm aware of the thought. He's annoyingly loud, you know. Sometimes that actually softens or bursts the aversion bubble. The other place that investigating ill will can lead us is often under ill will, aversion, anger, resentment, blame. Is something more vulnerable. There are often tender feelings or tender places of hurt, of fear, insecurity, loneliness, worry that could use some tending. And one of the antidotes for ill will are often those heart qualities of care, kindness, compassion. And so if there's a hard kind of edgy feeling of ill will expressing in some way, sometimes you can get to the tenderness by asking yourself, what's here that I don't want to feel? Or what's asking for my care right now, or what's asking for my attention? Yeah. You know, I was feeling irritated with my partner last week and you know, over something relatively small. And, you know, I could sort of feel that coming up, and it, you know, it came up in that like kind of tension in the body and kind of a knot in the stomach. And there was a really good story to go with it. And the story started to have chapters, you know, like I was adding to the story. And at some point, you know, I was able to just pause and sort of be like, oh, like what's really asking for my care or my attention in this moment? And what bubbled up was like, oh, disappointment, because I had really like wanted for us to do something together on this one particular afternoon. And it was beautiful out. And there was like something that he had put on the calendar and didn't tell me about. So I had this expectation, and then all of a sudden this happened, and I went to mad, but I actually wasn't caring for the disappointment. And when I could step back from the ill will and see the disappointment, it actually allowed for connection with myself and connection with him. So, you know, ill will in many ways is about our energy allocation. Our energy follows where our attention is. And if our attention goes to the thoughts that feed the stories of irritation, that's what's going to grow. If we can be more curious and widen the view, what else is here? What don't I want to feel? It allows us to find doorways of freedom out of ill will. So we don't have to get rid of ill will. We're just being invited to get to know it better and to relate to it differently. And often when we do, ill will kind of dissolves on its own. We don't actively have to do something to fix it or figure it out. And then the last thing I'll name before we have a little time together is, this is a particularly good one. It's helpful with all the hindrances, to notice their disappearance or to notice their absence. So if you have an attack of ill will and at some point ill will fades or dissolves or softens, let yourself notice, what does the absence of ill will feel like? Is there ease, relaxation, and opening in the heart or the body? Because we often miss that step of working with the hindrances. Part of the freedom is in actually learning how to notice when they're not present. You know, it's like having a toothache. Thich Nhat Hanh, this is one of his famous teachings. He says, we never notice our teeth, often for decades until we have a toothache, right? So we often don't notice, you know, like peace or ease or contentment until we're like angry and irritated and upset. So it's really helpful to know the presence and the absence. So I'll pause here and gift us some time in breakout rooms if you wish, and then we'll come back for a final few minutes. So I would invite you to just share if there's something in your relationship with ill will that feels juicy and alive, or something you aspire to. And see what you discover in the collective wisdom. So enjoy.